This is a Tripod Broadcast.
It's Walmart. It's middle class version of Six Flags. Dun, 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 dun. Humor.
Faggot didn't mean gay. When I was a kid, you called somebody faggot because they're being a faggot.
I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
All right, there we go.
We're recording.
We're online.
Let's do it.
Tripod Broadcasting. Give that some thought. Due to much feedback, mostly by yourself.
Yeah.
My co-host, Matt. We are now Give That Some Thought. Sounds better, rolls off the tongue a little bit. And you had an explanation, actually, for that, which I think would be good to give now.
Yeah, my explanation was it sounds better and rolls off the tongue a lot better.
What you just said. Your further explanation about some thought, as opposed to things a lot of thought.
Exactly. Like, we don't want to put too much pressure on our listeners. We know they're busy people.
They're busy people.
Yeah, they're going to
intellectually
and fro.
Challenged.
Don't insult the listeners.
Not in a bad way.
People who are listening to our
opinions. They have a lot on their intellectual plate.
Exactly. People who are listening to our opinions are obviously well informed.
It's true.
They're smart people. They know what time it is.
It's true.
And so, you know, we don't want to insult their intelligence, but at the same time, we don't want to take up all their intellectual capacity. You know, we don't want this to be the only program by which they're fed intellectually.
Sure.
So
be too much to expect.
We want you to give it some thought to what we're saying.
Give some thought.
Plus, a lot of the stuff we say is stupid.
It's true.
You know?
Absolutely. Well, once again, I am your host, Addison Todd. With me is my co-host, Matt Hume, a man who thinks Independence Day is the day that you move out of your mom's basement.
Yeah. Only.
Which
only,
for you was, what, 18 months ago?
Negative 2 months ago, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm moving out in 2 months.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, but there will be more fireworks, I guarantee it.
More fireworks upon the moving out.
Yeah, when I finally move out, the 4th of July.
Then the 4th of July, yeah. We actually had this.
More drunken rednecks, too.
We had this conversation the other day about fireworks, and I love fireworks.
Yeah.
I would shoot them off 365 days out of the year. Fireworks don't do anything for you.
No, not at all. Not really at all.
And in many other ways, you're a red-blooded American male. There's no reason why they shouldn't, but they don't.
Yeah, they don't do anything for me. It's just, I don't really like, there's, I don't know, they just seem manufactured and
Well, they are manufactured.
Well, yeah,
but by definition, they're manufactured.
The thrill of fireworks.
By the Chinese, who probably make thousands, hundreds of millions of dollars.
The thrill that most people get from fireworks, the colorful, you know, the colors,
the noise, the
feeling of the boom.
Right.
You know, it just doesn't do it for me. Even from the time that I was a little kid, you know,
right.
5, 6 years old, I'm like, oh, that's not that interesting. I mean, they're kind of cool. You know, when you're a kid, it's like, ooh, fireworks.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you really.
So you wouldn't. Your formative period with fireworks, then, I mean, just from that earliest age, you never tried to blow up a cat or maybe a toy, some G.I. Joes, any of that?
No, I was never destructive with fireworks. The one destructive thing I did was, like, shoot fireworks at friends. Like, you'd get bottle rockets and you light the bottle rocket, hold it loosely in your hand, and then
fire it at your buddy.
Yeah, and just point it at somebody, and it shoots off
right.
past
Never
them
at the face, because that's dangerous. Only at the groin.
If you're shooting at somebody, you really can't control, especially a bottle rocket, it's going to go wherever
it's
wants
gonna
to go.
It's going
to
go where it wants, yeah.
But, so if you get hit in the face, it's really not because you can't aim a bottle rocket, is what I'm saying.
But if you're aiming, that's what I'm saying, you blow the belt. If you're doing it with your buddies.
Yeah.
Is what we always try to do.
Or you just shoot it in the general direction and cross your fingers and hope it doesn't hit them in the eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember one time, this was probably 15 years ago now,
mm-hmm.
and I was like 13, whatever it was. We went to somebody's house, and they had a pipe, like maybe a quarter inch, like steel pipe, that was about 8 or 10 feet long, stabbed into the ground, and that's what we were doing bottle rockets out of, because mm-hmm. you just put them in the top there, light it, and off they'd go. It was perfect.
Yeah.
And the bag of fireworks, because fireworks sell them in big paper bags,
mm-hmm.
because those are, statistically speaking, the most flame-retardant bags that you could possibly sell fireworks in.
Yeah.
That's the reason they're sold that way. And this giant paper bag was underneath this the tube that we were shooting off from. And somebody lit a bottle rocket and stepped away. And it was one of those ones that kind of fizzed a lot and, yeah. and then didn't fly. But it fizzed a lot down into the bag mm-hmm. of fireworks. And I kid you not, the whole bag went off. And there were bottle rockets flying everywhere. It was that, and this is sad and a first world observation, mm-hmm. but that's probably the closest I'll ever get to a war zone.
Yeah.
In my lifetime.
Yeah. I think right now is probably the close is probably equal to that experience as far as war zones go.
As far as a war zone?
Yeah.
That's as close as so this is an equally hostile environment.
Yeah, to bottle yeah.
To bottle rockets going off uh-huh.
at, just because I know all the microbial filth that's in this room right now from me. Yeah, oh, it's gotta be harder than war zone. But yeah, that's
good to know.
That's a great story. So you're telling me that there was an accident with fireworks?
Yes. Well, I know, and you wouldn't think so.
Yeah, fireworks.
You don't really.
Yeah, fireworks
are often those are things
very safe.
Well, they don't happen very often.
Yeah. It's not like they're meant to explode or anything right. like that, you know.
Well, and if you talk to an emergency room doctor or an emergency room nurse around the time of the 4th of July, mm-hmm. they don't really hear anything from firework injuries or accidents, anything of that nature. Yeah.
Yeah. It's mostly from rednecks like swallowing the fireworks, trying to eat them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put them other places on their body.
I had an interesting thought the other
day. By
the way,
I saw something on Reddit, like as far as, speaking of shoving things, put different places.
I'm not comfortable with where this is going.
I saw an x-ray of a person's torso.
Right.
And all I'm going to say is that in the x-ray, you could see what had been placed inside of their, cavities. Buzz Lightyear action figure.
Buzz Lightyear.
Perfectly outlined on the x-ray.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that would that be the Infinity or would that be the Beyond?
That would definitely be the Beyond.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That was kind of the open-ended to Infinity when Buzz says to Infinity and Beyond.
And Beyond, the Beyond is
The Beyond is very open-ended.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Gives him
Infinity is definitely a finite. Well, Infinity is definitely a finite.
I think by definition Infinity is infinite.
Is it, though?
I could be wrong.
Maybe not. We'll have to get a dictionary out here.
I don't consider myself a man of science, so,
yeah.
as you know.
No, that's...
the least of the things that I...
For Buzz, though, that was definitely the Beyond.
That was definitely the Beyond, yeah.
I didn't even see that picture. When I saw that picture, I wasn't even looking. I wasn't even thinking about To Infinity and Beyond.
Oh,
man.
That's the obvious, the joke there.
I guess so. I didn't read any of the comments, so I probably would have seen that joke if I read the comments.
Well,
but,
I would hope so, yeah.
But that's definitely Beyond. Oh, my gosh.
Speaking of that, though, I don't know if you heard, and I'll throw a link up to it, and this is, like, the only story I had for this week.
Yeah.
So, I guess we can throw it in OPS. I mean, we got some other issues that we wanted to talk about, but this is really the only official story that's outlined with an article that I'll link to. And this is from the Daily Caller, citing national... Well, the headline is, Bloomberg, if sparklers are legal... I can't read it. I can't read the headline without laughing. If sparklers are legal, the terrorists win.
Yeah.
Is that a direct quote
from Bloomberg?
That I believe it's a direct quote.
Let's find out and see if that's a direct quote from Bloomberg.
Citing national security concerns and the war on terror... Mm. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg asked New York Governor Michael Cuomo to ban the sale of children's fireworks. City officials worried that sparklers, handheld fireworks that emit colorful sparks and are often waved through the air by kids on the 4th of July, could be used in terrorist attacks, according to the New York Post. A recent attempt to harm innocent lives provides a frightening example of how legally purchased fireworks can cause dramatic harm and even kill. Was there, I assume he's talking about Boston by a recent event, right? I mean,
maybe were fireworks used.
That was my question because I hadn't heard that there were.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I heard pressure cookers and ball bearings and all sorts of other things.
Yeah, I don't think that they used fireworks.
Yeah. So. And just an aside here, if you're a terrorist and.
Which I'm not.
Well, jury's still out on that.
Well, no, I'm saying it for the record right now.
For the record right now, okay. But if you're a terrorist, can't you do better than fireworks? I mean, at least a pressure cooker. Like, if we're talking about homemade items that you can purchase and not raise any sort of suspicion or awareness. I mean, we're not talking about chemical agents. We're not talking about overseas weaponry or purchased items that had to come across borders. Fireworks? Really?
Well, it's proven fact that sparklers are the...
I would think you would blow your hand off trying to prepare whatever entity or whatever unit you were trying to create with fireworks.
Well, here's actually...
In the process.
You had mentioned this article, so I did some digging in my history books and some of my other places online that I go for.
They call that precedent.
Yeah. but did you know that the sparklers were actually developed in 1642?
Really?
As a way to...
Well, I knew fireworks were from, like, a Chinese dark age, essentially.
Well, no, sparklers were invented in 1642. They're actually were used as a blasting cap for dynamite.
Really?
Yeah, to clear like roads and things like that.
Or bridges and whatever.
So, yeah, you can actually use them as an ignition for a bomb.
Okay. Okay. Well, maybe.
Do you actually believe that? Because that's complete bullshit.
Is it really?
Yeah. I actually had
this
you,
is why
that's
this
hilarious.
Is,
I actually
this,
had you going there for a second.
Yes, you did. And this is the reason for the name. Give that some thought.
Sparklers, really? No, sparklers are the only thing more like banal and non-threatening than a sparkler
is like a dead cat.
No, is like one of those snakes that you buy.
Oh, that just kind of smokes, and
it smokes, and it just black ash expands from it.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
It's basically a cigarette that costs more to make and does less.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what the snake is. Either way, the article, recent attempt, blah blah blah. Garber was referring to the case of the failed 2010 Times Square bomber, Faisal Shahzad, who used a legally purchased firecracker to trigger his car bomb.
There you go.
The ignition device.
See, sparklers.
The ignition device. Well, he says firecracker, not sparkler.
Yeah.
To me, there's a difference.
Yeah, I guess so.
The ignition device failed, however, and the bombing was unsuccessful. Although firecrackers contain gunpowder, sparklers do not.
Yeah.
That's on a separate line. The,
is part, sparklers is just basically a fuse with different chemicals inside of it.
For different colors, yeah.
Yeah, so it actually has no explosion. It's just one big fuse, and you wave a fuse in the air.
Yeah. Either way, Independence Day is coming out. Speaking of that, we're going to go ahead and release this Wednesday as opposed to on the 4th of July.
Okay.
We'll give the impression that we're spending the day with our families.
Well, that way people can download it early.
Yeah. Maybe listen to it over the holiday.
And then listen to it over the holiday. Because I know a lot of people on the holiday, they go to movies, they're looking for some form of entertainment in the evening. Throw this podcast on, 4th of July evening, after you've had your barbecue, after you're all hot and sweaty, before you...
Maybe with a nice bowl of homemade ice cream.
Something like that.
That's one thing I...
After you've eaten your pork steaks and your homemade ice cream.
Every 4th of July, my mom makes homemade ice cream, and it's amazing.
Yeah?
It's incredible.
What flavor?
Well, they do vanilla with Oreos in it.
Really?
Yeah, but it's. But I don't call it cookies and cream because it's to me it's so much different than that. Like it's not like if you go to the store and get a tub of cookies and cream ice cream, it tastes nothing like this. Like this is almost chocolate. Like it has like a almost like a pun intended gunpowder color to it. Mm. It's like a gray.
Uh-huh.
And the Oreos are like mixed in, and you'll come across like a quarter of an Oreo sometimes. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's amazing. What are you doing this 4th of July?
Probably nothing.
Whatsoever.
Yeah.
Just
like when the fireworks go off, I might hang my head out the window and watch those for like
five minutes. What you
or
can
so.
See from here.
No, I'll be able to see everything from this window.
Will you?
Yeah. Everything is because
all of St. Charles and everything.
Yeah. And St. Charles does the fireworks over the river.
Yeah.
Near the historic waterfront, whatever. And, I have a direct line to that. I can just see, boom.
Yeah.
Because it's only, like, maybe a mile and a half away.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, you got a bird's eye view then.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Definitely. Because I remember, like, this church over here, Ridgecrest Baptist Church, when I was a kid.
Right.
We would, the people who went to the church who were going to watch fireworks, instead of going down and having to fight traffic down in Old Town St. Charles.
Just pulling the parking lot and...
Pull in the parking lot, and like we did that a couple years, just sit in that parking lot and watch fireworks.
Yeah,
and yeah, you could see everything from there.
Nice.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't have any plans for anything.
You can go to your mom's house?
Well, yeah, maybe a barbecue. I'm probably gonna hang over at my mom's for a little bit. But other than that, no.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, but homemade ice cream.
The thing that sucks for me is I go back and work on Friday. So it's like, so it's not even really like it's.
Were you off today?
No, I wasn't off at all.
So you'd be off what? You'll be off Thursday?
Thursday, and that's it, yeah.
Oh, you poor baby.
I know. I'll get over it.
To work 4 days.
Out of the week instead of the normal
five.
Oh,
I know.
And it's not even a legit four where it's at the end.
Oh.
Because if it's at the end, then you just have an extended weekend, which is great.
No, I'm sad. You should poor be. Addison.
You should be.
It's a big boy job. He gets holidays off. Man.
All right.
Okay, so.
I think I see the sarcastic point.
Homemade ice cream.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We all agree it's delicious.
It's pretty incredible when done right.
What it's got to be a Missouri thing because when I was a kid.
Midwest, I would think, yeah.
We did homemade ice cream too.
Yeah.
And you know, you have your bucket with your little motor on top.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
You pack put the salt and ice.
Ice all around and you pour rock salt over the top. It's going, which I love doing. I love pouring the rock salt on top of it, just watching it go around.
Right.
And then, you know. Every once in a while, you get in there, stirred up.
I think
get a little taste.
Didn't it start?
It always tasted that taste for some reason either has to become from like the metal of the tub that's in there,
mm-hmm.
or maybe from like rock salt getting into the ice cream. Somehow.
Oh, right off the top.
Yeah. But it tasted a little bit saltier, and that salty flavor really brought out the flavor. But
some people put salt on ice cream.
Yeah,
well, some people get salt a bowl of ice everything. Cream. And, yeah, that's true. I've quit salt. I don't put I don't add salt to anything other than something like if I get fries like in a restaurant and there's no salt on them at all, I'll add a little bit there in a situation like that, but I don't everything that I used to put it on, I don't put it on anything at all anymore.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm trying to stay alive good and long and provide the world
way
with
to not
more
eat
of this
that salt.
These golden vocal cords.
Way to not eat like 5% less salt. Like from the American diet. Like
Well, there's sodium in everything.
Exactly.
I mean, it's the chief preservative, and
exactly. And so all these cheap foods that we eat because we're poor.
Yeah.
Like we ingest so much salt anyway. So like you can't say I've cut back my salt intake by not using table salt anymore on my foods.
Well, that's a little bit that you can do as opposed to because some people if there's salt on the table, some people put salt on
essentially salt on
every food. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no salt on ice cream. But my favorite flavor of ice cream that...
Homemade
ice cream.
Okay.
We do is peanut butter.
Really?
My mom would do peanut butter ice cream.
That did sound pretty good, actually.
Because I would always request it whenever we did. I would be like, Mom, make peanut butter ice cream. Make peanut butter ice cream. She'd be like, no, other people want different flavors this time.
Yeah.
And sometimes we even do like two batches.
Yeah.
In a single day or whatever. And yeah, peanut butter flavored ice cream.
So it's basically just vanilla with a cup and a half of peanut butter or two cups or whatever.
Like a whole jar of peanut butter. Yeah, you just throw it in. And yeah, at the end you have like pieces of like frozen oil and fat on the top. No, not really. But yeah. And it's awesome. And then
it'd be interesting if you used crunchy peanut butter.
Yeah, no. No.
And regular.
But you take like, you know.
I think we just turned into a cooking show. This is cool.
Maybe, but here's what you do, okay? Take a strawberry shortcake.
Well, you're no stranger in the kitchen.
Oh, no. Especially when it comes to, like, you know, stoner concoctions.
Hobo bachelor
weird.
Foods. Yeah.
So take a strawberry shortcake.
Right.
Put that in the bottom of the bowl.
With the peanut butter ice cream.
Put a scoop of peanut butter ice cream on top. Okay. Now, here's where
it gets interesting.
The fusion of my brilliance comes together,
okay.
Right? Strawberry jam on top.
Really?
Peanut butter and jelly ice cream.
Peanut butter and jelly ice cream.
It's a peanut butter and it's a PB and J sandwich.
It's a PB and J sandwich in the form. And
you've got
in
angel,
a way more
you
fattening.
Your, you have your form. Angel food cake on the bottom,
right?
Like your strawberry shortcake thing.
Yeah,
and then you have So you get your bread.
That sounds pretty good.
Butter,
actually, that sounds pretty good.
And you get your jam on that. Oh, it's delicious.
Delectable.
Yeah, it's definitely like top 50 of my favorite.
Yeah,
like terrible foods for you. That like you know. Ice cream on top of pancakes, which we did the other night. At Denny's.
Oh yeah,
you didn't notice that?
I didn't.
No, I ordered a plate of pancakes, and then I ordered a dessert,
and then just scooped the ice cream right on top.
Yeah, and I just put the ice cream right on top. Ice cream on top of pancakes. There's almost nothing better.
Wow.
Really, that's definitely like top 10.
Wow,
that with like Cheez-Its and peanut butter.
Nice.
Yeah,
that sounds good.
If listeners, if you can't tell, I'm fat. You can't tell, like, my fatness coming through the microphone when I'm describing sugary foods.
Well, you don't have a you don't have a fat pronunciation.
I don't have a fat.
Like, your B's sound normal.
My bees sound normal.
They do.
I don't have fat voices.
No, you don't. You have a very aesthetic voice, and
a thin man's voice. When I get older,
I wouldn't say that. Let's not get ridiculous. All right, here.
Fine, whatever.
But you don't. Yeah, you definitely don't have a fat voice, though.
Yeah. Well, good.
Yeah.
That's the one thing about me that's not fat. That might. Never mind.
I appreciate that discretion of yours.
Self-editing.
it's the newest on-the-fly editing.
Yeah. All the kids are doing it. Why aren't you?
Everyone's doing it. An observation I had today. I left work to go get some lunch for me and Meredith.
Yeah.
I left work. And now, to preface this, I've never been much of one who works out. Those that know me can probably tell by my physique. I'm sure you can.
Yeah.
I know that you never have either, I'm assuming.
There was one period like 5 years ago where I worked out for a week and a half, like every day.
Wow.
It was a gym at the apartment. It was when I was at Marine.
Okay, right.
Yeah, there was a little gym there in the apartment complex.
Yeah.
I stopped going because it was too hot outside, and the walk from...
the walk to the gym... And defeated him.
In the apartment complex I was in. Because it was like it's all private entrances
right.
in this big apartment complex, pretty spread out.
Sure.
And so, you know, the clubhouse is right in the middle, and it's maybe a 5 minute walk to get to the clubhouse.
Yeah.
If that.
Yeah.
But it was like 98 degrees outside. I'm like, it's too
fun. Entirely unacceptable.
It's too hot.
Yeah.
So I laid inside and watched TV when I was like, ah, should we? And I got to the point actually, like after a week, where I was, you know,
expecting kind on of the workout treadmill. Routine.
Or... I was on the treadmill and I was like 20 minutes and I hit a second wind. Never happened to me. It only happened once.
Yeah.
It's only happened to me once.
But, so it was towards the end of that week?
Yeah, but you know how some people say, well, you hit a second wind, like you'll get a burst of energy?
I don't know.
It's true. It happened to me once. I mean, it never happened again, but it happened to me once, like after a week of working out.
Neither before nor since.
But, yeah. I worked out like 6 days in a week and then...
Interesting.
Yeah, did a little bit of running, a little bit of weightlifting every day. By the end of that week, the workout was getting easier, and then I stopped.
Yeah.
And I was like...
Well, I think that's laziness. Rather typical.
I was like, you know what? I could either work out, or I could be lazy. Or I could watch this episode of Seinfeld I've seen 3 times already.
I think the choice is clear.
Meh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what would George Costanza do in that situation? He would definitely not work out.
What I was saying, left work, pulled, and it's down in the city, St. Louis City, and I pulled down at the stoplight.
Yeah.
And this guy and we've all seen it. Like what I'm about to describe is not something that you or our listeners have not seen. This jogger who he had workout clothes and headphones and was jogging. Was coming down the street, and the crosswalk was not at the walk signal yet. You know, it was stopped, and so, and he was jogging down, and he did that move where he stops and he just jogs in place.
Yeah,
which I thought about that as I watched him, and I was like, okay, first off, is that 6 seconds that you're remaining moving where you have to wait? Is that really worth looking like you do jogging in place on a street corner? I've never, like, when I've worked out or when I've gone to the gym, I've always done a continuous, you know, time on the treadmill, and then I've gotten off. I've never, like, you've never seen anybody at the gym on a treadmill for so long and then getting off the treadmill and then jogging in place or sort of jogging around the gym once they're done. Like, that's a continuous stretch and then you're done. Or you see people on the treadmill that'll slow it down for a while.
Yeah.
They'll go at a consistent pace, and then they'll back it down for a while. So what is the move on the street corner? What does that do for you? Is it just simply to keep movement going, or what?
Yeah, pretty much.
But, like, why wouldn't you just catch a breath for, like, I mean, because I counted. I looked at him, and I was like, he looks like an idiot. And it was like, it was like a good 5-6 Mississippi. That's it. And then he was able to go again. So it's like, what was he really...
Well,
excuse me, accomplishing. Why not just take a breath?
I suppose you're supposed to keep moving.
For 6 seconds, your heart's going to slow down to like, well, like no, a Saturday night on the couch type level? Like what?
No, but your muscles will stop. The
in
whole
that amount of time, though.
Yeah, it only takes like a split second for your muscles to stop contracting. So, like, you're moving your legs up and down. You're constantly flexing and contracting or whatever those muscles.
Right.
And if they stop, they'll start to go into repair mode, I guess you could say. You know, how muscles have to repair themselves after workout and things like that.
Well, I think at this point, I think I can safely say, definitely for me, probably for you as well, I think we're venturing into territory that we don't know anything about.
Yes,
that's for sure.
Yes, we are. However, I would like to continue to wildly speculate about why.
Please do.
Even though we don't have any information.
We'll give that some thought. See what I did there?
Yeah, I did see what... No, I heard what you did there.
That's an ode to my co-host.
So, let's just give this some thought. Not a whole thought, just some. It's probably because of the angry maggot bees that live inside of our muscles.
Ah.
And the angry maggot bees...
A man
bees
of science, like myself.
Exactly. The angry maggot bees are what keep the serotonin interacting with the white blood vessels in our legs and in our muscles, and they move them back and forth, just like regular bees do, only they're minuscule, microscopic.
Tiny bees.
Yeah. Maggot bees.
Tiny maggot bees.
That's why you ever seen a dead body, like maggots come out of it, some maggot bees coming out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because once you're dead, they're like, all right, we've had it. Let's get out of here.
But if you
Makes
want...
Makes sense. Yeah. They're trapped.
Yeah. Actually, it was used to be in the Bible. When you talk about the certain type of insects in the body, but they removed it
during
the Dark Ages because they were afraid of what was staying in there. It was in the Apocrypha, actually, if you look. First maggot bees.
There were maggot bees, and there were maggot bees.
Third, and the often forgot about fourth maggot bees.
Fourth maggot bees.
Yeah.
So now, the numbers refer to the size of the bees?
No, just the books about the bees.
The books about the bees.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, so if you haven't listened
yet... Do some research on the maggot bees.
do some research on the maggot bees.
The books of the Apocrypha, first through four maggot bees.
First through fourth maggot bees.
Maggot bees.
That's what
maggot
I said.
Maggot bees.
Maggot bees.
Maggot bees.
Maggot bees.
Maggot bees.
Maggot bees. Got it.
Maggot bees.
Anyways, if you haven't listened yet, I put up an episode for Canada Day in which
maggot bees. Sorry,
that's fine. Enjoy the moment.
No, I'm just sometimes you have to enjoy your own humor because
no one else.
You're
is.
The only
that's
one
the
who's going
yeah.
to be enjoying it.
As a married man, you'll find that those times are so much more precious.
Yeah.
At the times when you either make a joke or you see a joke or you something humorous comes across your path, in that situation in married life, you're the one that's going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing. I'm not bad mouthing wives or marriage or my wife or any of that.
Uh-huh.
That's just how it is.
Yeah.
There's times when you will be the one that appreciates your humor. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
No, it's the equivalent of comedic masturbation is what it is. Like, you're the only one getting off. It's doing nothing for nobody
comedically
else.
Comedically speaking, right.
Yeah, comedically speaking, of course. I don't want to be dirty.
Right.
But,
of all the things you are, dirty isn't one of them.
No, not. I'm very... I don't work blue.
Very clean.
I don't work blue.
Very hygienic.
Yeah, I don't work blue. But yeah, there's you're the only one who's going to be able to get off...
On the joke.
With this joke.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you just... You might,
this is my moment. Yeah.
Yeah, and you might say it out loud.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like to internalize it. If I'm going to tell a bad joke, I'm going to get.
You'll say it out loud. Will you do this
I'm
move?
Say
you
it
say
out
it out
loud.
Loud when you're all by yourself?
No. I wait till.
Really?
No, I want to wait till there are people, like, around me. Like, I'll say it out loud sometimes when I'm by myself.
Right.
And just be like, maggot bees. But, I'll wait till, people are around me, and then I'll say it because.
And then when no one gets it, that makes the fact that you're getting it that much more special.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. The bewildered look that I get.
People just, okay.
Or the nervous laughing, like pretending to laugh.
Yeah.
I think that's funnier than actually getting laughs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might be.
Yeah. Or at least that's what I tell myself to make myself think that I'm actually funny.
Indeed.
Yeah. Anyway, what were you going to say about whatever you were going to say before maggot bees?
I don't know.
Or after it was after maggot
it
bees.
It was after maggot bees.
Yeah.
I don't know. Huh. It's gone. It's gone with the comedic. Oh, I was talking about the episode that I released, or the mini-sode, if mm-hmm. that's a thing. The mini-sode that I released on Canada Day where we discuss Matt's trip to, and we won't get into it here because that's a standalone episode, standalone entity. But we discuss Matt's trip to Canada,
yeah,
and why why Matt is or is not a drug mule.
I'm not, never have been, but
well, we'll leave it up to the listener.
Yeah,
when they say a jury of your peers, I think our listener is no better example of that.
I mean, they're going to find that it was completely wild speculation on your part. Yeah.
But. As I tend to do. I wildly speculate quite a bit.
Well, I mean, just like any other journalist, where would you be without wild speculation?
It's true. Maybe I could be a journalist. Wild speculation.
Yeah.
I could start a blog and just call it Wild Speculation, and it'd probably be massively viewed on.
But spelled wild with a Y.
With a Y, yeah. Right. W-Y-L-D-E, speculation.
Wild Speculations.
Yeah.
And spell it with a Z at the end of speculations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And then you could just be like talking about Paula Deen the entire time.
Speaking of Paula Deen.
Yeah, what about her?
My wife didn't want me to talk about this tonight when I was going over the show in my head. Because...
Oh, well, then let's not talk about it. Let's move on to
the next let's
thing.
Talk about it. So the thing is... I think...
You're going to alienate one of our two listeners here.
Well, is that a risk we should take, though?
That's fine. Go ahead.
All right. So the thing about Paula Deen is, and I'm, again, assuming that our listener has heard the whole story or a good portion of the story, she's gotten dropped from all her publisher and her shows and her endorsements and on and on and on for, from what I understand, and I don't know the details other than, you know, the headlines and things that I've seen, for at one point, using the N-word in a derogatory way, and for planning, and this just seems weird to me. I don't get this. But apparently she's planned multiple weddings with a plantation theme.
Yeah.
In which black people were, she had blacks as slaves. Which that's
well, she had black.
That seems so weird to me.
She had black people doing the food service, so everyone working the event was black.
What I had heard was that it was more, I guess.
What, they had like a whipping post with Toby tied to it or something like that.
I don't know. That's
I
don't know.
I don't think that was the case.
Well, but, I know that wasn't the case, but it just seems in bad taste, and I'm chief in bad taste. But the thing is. Like, I would think, like, okay, you can't do that. Like, come on, people, that's going to upset people. You can't do that. Like, and I make these calls in my head, much as people don't think I do. Like, I'll make that call where I'm saying something or I'm doing something, or I think, oh, that's hilarious. And I'm like, well, okay, that's too far. That's a greater majority of people are not going to be able to understand either where you're coming from or what you're trying to say without seeing the offense in it. And so you don't do it.
Yeah.
And that seems like a no-brainer to me. That's just my two cents on Paula's slave parties.
Here's Paula Deen's problem. She told the truth.
Yeah.
She was like, yeah, I've used the N-word. If somebody asks you whether or not you use the N-word in a derogatory and publicly, like they, you know, it's a public interview, when they're going to ask you publicly whether or not you used a racial slur or whether or not, you know, you drowned a baby.
Well, that's anything. And or, because, you know, politicians beat a puppy, know that. I mean, a politician won't apologize until there's like evidence on the front of every newspaper.
Exactly, and Paula Deen made a mistake by telling the truth.
Yeah,
and although it was in a deposition, like she was testifying in a deposition.
Oh, was
about okay. And like it was, an African American who was a former employee
was suing her
because he claimed a hostile work environment, a racial work environment, sexual harassment.
Right.
And she was testifying in a deposition, and the defense asked her if she had ever used the N-word as a racial slur, and she said, yes. Okay.
Which is obviously the truth, or...
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. If there had been a tape with Paula Deen dropping the N-word...
Yeah.
If there was any proof that Paula Deen had dropped the N-word...
Yeah.
She would either have been blackmailed...
Yeah.
Over it, or it would have hit the light of day already.
Yeah.
So there's no proof out there.
Yeah.
This lawyer, this defense team or whatever, can't pin you for anything.
Yeah.
They can't prove it. So you say, no.
What? No,
I would never use the N-word in that manner.
Yeah.
I do declare.
Indeed. Well, that's the Paula Deen thing.
Yeah, well, you know, forget Paula Deen.
I think most of anyone that was writing her checks has done just that.
Yeah. Her fans don't care.
Well, and like, how many fans do you really have on a cooking show? Like, can we be honest? Like,
how many cooking shows are on cable TV right now?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I can name you a dozen TV channels that have at least two cooking shows on them right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Spike TV has a cooking show.
That's sad.
Oxygen has several. You have the Food Network, obviously. A&E has a couple. History Channel, and I TLC think, has got one. Some. TLC has a bunch.
TLC has a couple of cake ones.
A&E has a couple cake ones, too. Yeah, they're all... Cooking shows are all over the place. They're huge. People love to... If there's one thing that Americans love, it's food.
Yeah.
If there's another thing that Americans love, it's watching food. Okay? It combines...
And the two go hand in hand.
It combines Americans' two favorite things.
Yeah.
Eating things and watching things.
Being eaten and cooked and consumed.
Like, yeah. There are actually some cooking shows I enjoy, like Man vs. Food.
I do enjoy that.
Isn't a bad one.
Yeah.
It's kind of humorous sometimes. But like Anthony Bourdain, his shows
you
are
like
pretty
the,
good.
You like the British guy that yells at people? What is his face? There's a meme. Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah. No, I don't.
No?
No, not a fan. But like even you know, there's a lot of like not really cooking shows, but like restaurant shows, like Restaurant Rescue, like Bar Rescue, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like these failing bars and failing restaurants.
I can't appreciate that.
People go
having
in.
Having worked at a failing restaurant.
Yeah, people go in, Gordon Cafe. people go in and, you know, they fix the problems
I'm gonna
in the restaurants
edit that
and
out.
Stuff. No, you're not.
No,
you're
I
not.
Won't. I won't. Completely unedited.
But yeah, it's cooking shows are all the rage and people love them. Like Paula Deen is huge because her cooking is so...
Should I pause so you can smoke that cigarette?
No. No, I'm just holding it.
Okay.
Just because. But Paula Deen is... You know, her food is good. I mean, it's
what Americans want to eat.
Country kitchen buffet. It's, you know, slathered in fat and grease, and it's potatoes with cheese, and it's, you know, it's red meat. It's, you know, it's soul food, right?
Right.
People want to eat it.
Heartland food,
and
yeah.
she has big restaurants that do big business. She has like a cruise.
Really?
Yeah, I was reading like her cruise ship has sold out. Like her
oh my
fans,
gosh.
People who watch her cooking shows.
We need to get into the cooking business, Matt.
What are we doing in this podcast?
Food podcast.
Foodcast.
Look for it soon on Tripod Broadcasting.
Foodcast.
Please stop.
Anyway, but yeah, apparently she has had this like food cruise that she was going to do, and like
musicians do when they go on a cruise. And
think about it though, like the thing at cruise, what you want to do, you want to drink,
and see shows,
you
want to
eat, and you want to lay around on a cruise. Okay, that's what you're doing.
It sounds like her food is a shoo-in for a food cruise,
right?
Let's be honest.
Like you get a bunch of 50-somethings, a bunch of pensioners, a bunch of retirees out there.
Yeah,
you know, cruising the high seas. Eating buttered steak. Like, it sounds like heaven. And so, like, but she had this cruise, and it wasn't full, and then the scandal broke, and her...
And now it's packed.
Yeah, and all her fans are right behind her. And they're not going to stop. It's going to be 6 months, a year down the road, and she's going to have all her endorsements
too,
back,
and, we should
and
just
she's just going to be doing it again.
Do you think they should? Like, that's the thing. Like, how sensitive are we going to be as a culture, as a society? How sensitive are we going to be?
Yeah.
I mean, I could go to Walmart, okay... Target, Walmart, your consumer stores, pick up an album off of the shelf that says the N-word on it more times than Paula Deen's ever said in her life.
Yeah.
That's a fact. So how sensitive and weird are we going to get about this stuff? You know, and I don't want to get into it. It's just, it's a dead time. I don't.
Well, the only reason why it's even a topic right now is to cover up, to take away everybody's attention
oh, here
away
we go.
From the NSA and Snowden.
Matt's two favorite words, cover and up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like those words, though. Most of the time, I'm saying, don't cover it, baby. Come on. Don't cover up.
But you are fond of
it's a panoramic lens. It'll get everything.
You are fond of the You are fond of the
government. They have stretch marks. Don't worry about it, baby. It's beautiful.
You are fond of the governmental cover-up, though. You would consider yourself a fan of governmental cover-ups. Would you not?
I like uncovering governmental cover-ups. I like.
Do you think that anyone in society has ever uncovered a government cover-up?
Yeah,
in all honesty, come on.
Edward Snowden just did.
Do you have a poster of Snowden yet, by the way?
No, I don't.
In this sweaty bungalow?
No. I did carve a statue of Snowden out of a bar of soap. I carved his likeness into a bar of soap. But
interesting.
Yeah. Then I accidentally left the soap in the sink. And
I hate that. And then you pick it up and it's all weird.
I know. Now
you can't wash with that.
Now it just looks like Anthony Scalia.
Actually, on that note, DOMA overturned.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I mean, the court did what it was supposed to do, which was leave it up to the individual state.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know,
That's what I don't understand. How is that a bad thing? And if you live in a state where it's legal and you have a problem with that, move to a state where it's not. And eventually they all will be. But if that's what you feel you need to do, then do it.
Yeah, well, okay.
That's the point of having the states, right?
I misspoke. The courts didn't leave it up to the individual states. The Supreme Court said that the Defense of Marriage Act or any other act like that is unconstitutional, which it is.
To define it like that, yeah.
Yeah, because you're saying that one part of the population doesn't have a right. Somebody else does. So
regardless of what the right is and the religious and moral implications there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, and that's the thing. Okay, we don't have, you don't have the right to murder. That's a law, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some people, not a small section of people don't have the right to murder. No one has the right to murder.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. And it's not even religious or moral.
Well, it is for a lot of people, though. That's the implication. That's the background and that's where they come from.
For people who oppose, or people who were for the defense,
people on both ends, I think.
People who are for the Defense of Marriage Act,
right?
You know, I think they're coming from a religious point of view, but it goes to that, you know, it's imposing your moral opinions, and that's what they are. They're moral opinions.
Yeah,
you know? It's nothing set in stone, but you're opposing your moral opinions on somebody else just because.
That's what you think?
You feel that that's the way everyone should be.
But here's the question, though.
You believe it. And everyone's like that. Like, I believe that about some certain things. Even if it's just something as flippant as, oh, everybody should use their turn signal when they turn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or when they're driving a car, they should use their turn signal.
And right.
So, like, or everybody.
But that
everybody
was my question,
should,
though.
Should, you know, flush the toilet when they're done using it.
That should be a law.
Well, no. Well, the law is, if it's yellow, let it mellow.
If it's brown, flush it down.
I was about to say, if it's brown, wipe it on your face and howl like a Indian warrior, but your rhyme's good, too.
Either way, well, I don't think yours rhymes.
It did. It was a haiku.
Oh. 575? I think a haiku is 575, isn't it? For our listeners.
No, it's a 636-466-0459. To all you ladies out there, hit a brother up, yo.
One more topic.
Well, no. Are we done with DOMA?
Yeah, I don't.
Are we done
with DOMA?
You don't want to talk about DOMA?
I don't. I'm not in the mood to. I'll just get upset.
By the way, the interesting thing about DOMA is that it only applies to one couple in one case.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like apparently there's this legal proceeding that's pretty much involved one couple.
Yeah.
That has brought it to this point for California.
And a lot of couples have also got onto a class action. I mean, it was a class action lawsuit, but it only the legal precedent that's set. By the overturning of DOMA, it only
affected the one
affected
couple
one
that
couple.
Was in waiting or whatever for
yeah.
this.
So every other couple that applies for a marriage license gets a marriage license. The state can move to overturn that marriage license and veto that marriage license.
On their own yeah. precedent
so,
or on their own
so
judgment.
Basically, if someone in Alabama, like now in California, that's not going to happen.
Right.
Right. In New York, that wouldn't happen. But if somebody in like, Alabama
mm-hmm.
or even Missouri
mm-hmm.
were to obtain a same-sex couple were to obtain a marriage license,
mm-hmm.
You could actually file suit against that and have that marriage license vetoed. Now, you know, you're going to be fighting that in court for years, but So it's really not a feasible option to, you know, try and veto every single marriage license that's issued to a same-sex couple. So it's, you know, it's still the symbolic win is still a win.
Yeah.
For the people who are against DOMA.
Yeah.
And I'm against DOMA too. I don't think it's a law that we need to have on the books. It further restricts liberty. You know what I'm saying? Stop watching the television.
You have it on.
Yeah, well, it's muted. It's commercial, too.
Anyways, last subject.
Mm-hmm.
We got asked on Twitter our thoughts on what goes behind a compelling TV character. What creates a compelling TV character?
Sex.
Is that...
Getting it.
Well, we can just move on then.
Big booties.
Okay.
Fast cars. All right. Loud guns. That's what makes a great TV
That's
character.
That's not... What?
Hey, it worked in the Fast and the Furious. Are you kidding me?
That's movies, number one.
Well, so...
Movies are just long TV episodes, Addison.
That's, not.
I don't know why that's
They're
your
not.
Voice, but,
but.
Well, some TV characters that you and I find compelling.
Uh-huh.
Walter White from Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
The Walter White Heisenberg character. I don't know you so much, but Don Draper from Mad Men.
You watched
three seasons? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not caught up on the show. I enjoy that show. It's not one of my favorites. It's not even like my top 10, I don't think, of shows.
Right.
Even shows that are on the air right now. But if I was to pick a character from that show, it definitely wouldn't be Don Draper.
Really? As the compelling one? Who would it be? Roger?
You know who it'd be.
Oh, God. Okay.
You know
Let's
who it'd
just,
be.
Okay.
Talking about so, boom, ba boom, va va voom.
Don Draper.
Talking about Christina Hendricks.
Don Draper. Walter White.
Yeah.
One we can both agree on, Frank Underwood.
Oh, my gosh,
from
Frank Underwood.
From the series House of Cards on Netflix.
Frank Underwood.
That's an incredible show.
It's one of my favorite shows. Like I probably
to our listeners, we're both big fans of the show. If you haven't watched it, you're missing out. Do yourself a favor and watch an episode or two.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey is phenomenal.
It might be his best role.
Well,
you're not a big fan, so
I'm not a huge Kevin Spacey fan, but I've never seen him at this level before, and as an actor,
not even his legs.
Yeah.
Superman Returns?
That's the one. Yeah, he should have gotten an Oscar for his portrayal of Lex Luthor. No, I've already told you time and time again, there's only one Lex Luthor.
Gene Hackman.
It was Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can get into Superman stories some other time.
Well, we won't, but no, the character Frank Underwood is a great character.
Yeah.
It's compelling, and it's original, and it's just everything about that character.
Yeah.
You want to root for it, but at the same time you want to punch him in the face.
That's what I was just going to say. Like, he's one of those characters where you find yourself relating a bit more than you want to or you should. And you find yourself being equally disgusted by some things that he does.
Yeah.
You know, like he'll do something or say something or pull a move and you're like, how can you do that? But then he'll do something, you know, in another situation or a power play or a move or whatever, and you're just like, well, yeah, okay. He totally had to do that.
Yeah.
He had to do
but
that. I would do that.
That's
a compelling character.
To me, though, if you look over like the best TV shows of the past 10 years,
right,
almost every lead character is that mix of scumbag and good guy, right?
Well, you know the one that comes to mind.
You have Walter White, Heisenberg.
Right.
You've got Tony Soprano.
See, I never watched the Sopranos.
I didn't either, but, you know, I mean... I know the character. I know the character well enough.
Right. Well, the character that came to mind when you said every character is like that was Michael Scott, Steve Carell from The Office.
Yeah.
Which, if you think about it, I don't know about the rest of our audience or you, but for me, same thing. I was like, yeah, I pull that move. I do that.
Yeah.
And then other times you're like, he has no clue what he's saying right now, how offensive he's being.
Yeah.
And that's his character.
Well, I mean, to Michael Scott, the character is all about earnestness. You shouldn't be ashamed to be earnest,
mm-hmm.
to really wear your feelings on your sleeve at certain points.
Yeah.
There's a boldness there of being earnest and being...
Well, it's a boldness that's wrapped in earnestness, but also in naivety, because he doesn't really know a lot of times.
Earnest
that he's doing
has that same kind of connotation of naivety, but... There's a boldness to being that earnest and that naive and still, and you know, he is self-aware as a character, but Michael Scott is comedically a great character. Comedically is a great character. I think that South Park for me,
really compelling TV show.
It's a great TV show.
Just because the gamut of topics that they cover,
the gamut of topics.
Because I know that's a big, but it's a big draw to the show. I've never been a fan, but what I have seen and enjoyed, it was because, oh, okay, when you can hold a mirror up to this or that in society and paint the picture that you're painting for or against it, or just the hypocrisy a lot of times in a situation or a belief system, I can appreciate that. I can appreciate that in any show.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. When South Park first came on the air, I think it was like 98 when it first aired, it was filthy and dirty, and it was little kids swearing. That was the whole gimmick, okay, surrounding that first couple seasons.
Right.
People were outraged by it. They hated it, and they, you know, they wanted to get it pulled off the air. But, you know, as these children were, you know, flying in the face of moral codes and you know, children identify with these kids, and so they it's a cartoon, and you know, they want to watch, you know, these little 8-year-olds say filthy things.
Right.
But as that show has progressed, the moral center of that show was always the four kids, Stan, Kyle, Kenny, and Cartman. And as that show has progressed, they've stayed the moral center of that show.
Mm-hmm.
And every other character around them is causing some sort of problem and is indicative of
society.
Of those societal topics that they always talk about, whether it's, you know, the Gulf oil spill or Paris Hilton's dirty vagina, like they are still the moral compass of that societal commentary that South Park is. Mm-hmm. And South Park is, to me, one big comment on society.
Yeah, I think that's a very accurate way to put it, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why, to me, it's a seminal show of
The Simpsons is like that, too.
Yeah, but Simpsons is a little bit more, they're not quite as political.
Really?
No, not really. It's more of a lighthearted gag show.
Yeah.
You know, the comedy is driven by the characters rather than by the situations like South Park. But anyway, going back to some of the best TV.
Compelling TV characters, yeah.
Compelling TV characters. I know you've never seen Deadwood.
No.
But
I've been told by you and others that
Ian McShane. You think that Kevin Spacey is good in as Frank Underwood in House of Cards, you watch Ian McShane as Al Swearengen in Deadwood, you will have a new respect for the art of acting. It's
really
my favorite TV character of all time. That's including Walter White.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Al Swearengen.
I posed a quick Deadwood. Question the other day because I went to see Man of Steel again.
Mm-hmm.
Bryan Cranston as Lex in Man of Steel 2.
Yeah, I don't really don't want to see it.
No?
No.
Just because of the confusion with the characters, or?
No, just, I don't know.
You don't think he could do it?
No, he definitely could do it. It's just,
because he has, like, that ominous, evil, bald dude, but then, like, a well-meaning man with hair who has maybe not all bad intentions in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, as far as somebody for Lex Luthor for the next Superman, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, anyways, back on topic. So Deadwood, Ian McShane as
Al Swearengen.
Al Swearengen.
Is
it an AMC show? No.
No, it was I think it was either HBO or Showtime.
Showtime.
I think it might have been Showtime.
Oh, is it done?
Oh yeah, it's been done for a while. I think it
how many is it?
Three seasons. It got canceled because it wasn't doing really good in the ratings. But, of course.
Maybe we'll do a podcast about Deadwood.
Well, let's do our podcast about Breaking Bad first.
That's true. Actually, since now that you blew the cover off that.
Oh.
Not that it was a big secret. When Breaking Bad returns on August 11th, Matt and I are going to host our own show, perhaps with others, perhaps the two of us, in a roundtable style format. After we watch the episodes, we'll just comment on it.
We're going to watch them and then comment on it. And it's going to be
just back-to-back.
Awesome.
It's
awesome.
I'm so excited. We won't get into it anymore here. We won't assume that the people listening to this are Breaking Bad fans. Yeah, yeah. But that is a quick announcement, and we'll put that out on Twitter and such. But that is something that we're going to do that, that we're really looking forward
but
to.
I think if – to me also, I think – I don't know. My top five TV characters of the past 10 years would probably be Al Swearengen.
Okay.
Probably Walter White.
Walter White, yeah.
Probably be Frank Underwood.
Yeah.
Would probably have to be Cartman.
Okay.
From South Park. And
this fifth one – Go ahead.
The fifth one would probably be...
Go ahead.
And I think you may know where I'm coming from with this. Number five, as far as compelling TV characters, as far as like my favorite TV characters, would definitely have to be Gaius Baltar.
Who is that?
From Battlestar Galactica.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. The old guy.
So Michael Scott's not even in the top five.
I don't think so, no.
Michael Scott. Michael
I've already told you my favorite characters from The Office are not... Isn't Michael
That's
Scott.
That's true, yeah.
Like my favorite characters are all the smaller ancillary characters. It's not Jim, it's not Pam, it's not Dwight. It's...
Daryl.
No, not
Creed.
Daryl. Creed may be my top.
Phyllis. Stanley. Toby.
No.
I'm just going to list all everybody.
Honestly, I think my favorite character on The Office is probably Kevin.
He's a pretty incredible character.
Yeah.
And when you see him... like in an interview or on the street or whatever, like but just him,
yeah.
And you contrast that with his character, you realize how much acting really went into that character.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't easy to do what he did, and he did it really, really well.
Yeah, and it's, it's a hilarious character. Anyway, but yeah, Gaius Baltar from Battlestar Galactica, I think, honestly, embodies somebody, a tortured person, a morally tortured person more than any other character I've ever seen on TV.
Which character is he?
He is one of the scientists.
Because I watched the miniseries.
Yeah.
Like the 2-hour long that was before the show. Right?
Yeah.
So I got my time.
Smaller guy, dark featured, kind of longish hair. But he's a scientist, a physicist, who's works on like a lot of the technology of...
Right,
the cyborgs, the robots, or whatever.
Yeah,
I can't even remember their names now. Cylons.
Cylons.
Yeah.
Well,
it's been so long since I watched BSG.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would put Game of Thrones in there for like favorite TV characters, but
I think there's not one that stands out. That's the thing. Like, because whenever I've heard you talk about it, like you really like the show. You really like everything. The show as a whole and the story that it's telling and things like that, but it's never like, oh, this one character, like we are with other shows.
Yeah. Well, I think that's because it's not driven by one character. It's an ensemble cast.
Right.
But Peter Dinklage as Tyrion Lannister is probably one of my favorite.
Yeah.
That and Arya Stark. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Anyway, yours. What are your top five TV characters of the past?
Oh, well, Walter White would definitely be one of them.
Okay, there's one.
Walter White. I would put Michael Scott up there.
Mm-hmm. Solid.
Frank Underwood. I would say, and this is a bit of an odd one, but I don't. I can't decide. But I was going to say either Ron Swanson or Andy from Parks and Rec. I love Andy.
Andy Dwyer?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love Andy's character.
Do you know that dude's married to Anna Faris in real life?
No.
And you know who Anna Faris is? Blanchett. She was in the movie The House Bunny, that gimmicky sex romp a couple years ago. She's
not really
like
a
scary
I...
movie. And
she's not good movies then.
No.
Like.
Terrible movies.
Super.
No, not really.
Really?
Not in my book, at least. Oh. Yeah. He could do better.
Message to Andy, who's may or may not be listening.
Yeah.
My co-host Matt thinks you can do better.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. He can't, however, do any better than April, so he should stick with that.
I love Aubrey Plaza. She's incredible.
I actually saw a picture of her on Gentleman Boners. Our Gentleman Boners today. looking good. She's really a bear full of cute. She is.
That's the thing. She's super classy, and she's a hilarious, dry character.
Yeah.
Like on Parks, I love her character on Parks and Rec.
And she has that dark sarcasm.
Yes.
That like.
Yeah.
Dig that dark high school girl sarcasm.
Yeah, but as an adult.
She's been able to carry, because you usually can't carry that into adulthood.
And an adult character.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
if you mix it with the right amount of comedy and then...
Yeah, her Twitter handle is
looking
at,
awesome.
Her Twitter handle is at Evil Hag. That about says it. Yeah. She's incredible. I love her.
Her tweets aren't that great, though.
No, they're not.
But, you know.
Sometimes
I'll like, read Aparna Nachalara's tweets and just, like, pretend they're Aubrey Plaza's. Yeah. Or pretend that Aparna Nachalara looks like
Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are, was that five? Mike Scott, Walter White, Frank Underwood,
mm-hmm.
Ron Swanson. I guess I'm up to four.
Yeah, you got one more.
Television. Oh, wow. Jeez, I don't know.
You can't think of a fifth one?
Well, there's so many other smaller, like those are my big ones. Those are my big, solid go-to characters. Yeah, I don't know. I may have to leave it at that.
Not Don Draper.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Yeah. That'd be the fifth one. Yeah.
You think so?
Throw him up there for the top five because he's my other one that I've followed and same thing. It, as far as a compelling TV character, somebody that you look at, you're like, oh, what a terrible person.
Yeah. But at the same time, you want to be them.
Well, not really want to, but in the same time, he does things, and you're like, I've done that. I've been there. I've been in those shoes. I've faced that decision, and maybe I've fallen on the wrong side of it, like he's about to or is.
Which is what you know. The whole bent of this conversation was what makes a good compelling TV character, and that is,
and I think it's the complexity of,
well, not just complexity but relatability. It's
yeah,
everyone wants to see that everyone as a person wants to see themselves and sees themselves in the starring role of their lives.
Yeah.
So everybody, when they're watching television, when they're watching entertainment, they want to be able to identify with the star.
You know who I would have play
or
you,
or one of the stars,
if my life was a movie.
Of TV. Show, so you derailed me. Go ahead. Who would be played? Who would I be played by?
Well, it'd be Seth Rogen with Jonah Hill's weight.
You bastard. Yeah. Do you know who I would have play you in a movie? Two fat guys, but the fatter of the fat guys. It would be a cross between two fat guys, but the fatter fat guy.
Anyways.
Yeah, thanks for that. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
You should have been like Gerard Butler with Jonah Hill's weight. I would have taken that.
Why? Gerard Butler doesn't bring anything to the table.
He's manly.
What is that, though, in the grand scheme of things? He can play that role
manliness?
Really well, but what is... Yeah, but what does it really bring to the table as an actor? And I'm not saying he's a bad actor. I'm just saying he can do that role really well and has and continues
Gerard
to do
Butler
so.
Gerard Butler was just a name that was in my mind because I saw him in a movie earlier today. Other than that, they're like not... Yeah,
all right.
I'm not really thinking about that. But
well, we'll concede that then.
What makes a compelling TV character is that relatability.
Yeah.
That be able to say, well, okay, I see myself as this person not only because I've done something in the past like that,
or been
but
in their shoes,
I want
or...
to be that person. Everybody sees themselves as a star of their own lives. So, which they are, but they want to be able to relate to the stars that they see on TV, and that's why every good TV character has to be relatable. It has to be something that, you know, they have to run the gamut of emotions that people can relate to. And even, you know, shows like, a show like Dexter, right? We have
never seen it.
Your main character, he's a serial killer.
Yeah, kind of psychopath. I'm aware of the premise.
But the whole show... You can relate to this person even though he's supposed to be a serial killer. So it does something, I think, for the believability of the show
mm-hmm.
with the fact that he's running these emotional gamuts and every major decision he's making is a decision based on emotion.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's I guess that's why the show is so popular because, you know, it's him trying to have emotions or trying to rectify emotions.
And I think that's a big part of Don Draper's character.
Yeah.
You know, because he has a tendency to act on whatever's available and whatever's there and taking the next turn without really thinking about it. But I think, and as the show's progressed, that we see him kind of struggling with that and wanting a sense of peace and a home life and stability and the emotion that is tied to that.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Yeah.
I think that about does it.
Although, no, number six, I've got number six too. Katie Sagal in Sons of Anarchy.
See, I haven't watched Sons of Anarchy either.
Sons of Anarchy is really good if you're either drunk or stoned.
Other than neither that, of which I am very often.
Or you like motorcycles or motorcycle gangs.
Okay.
Other than that, it's just pretty much just a show about a motorcycle gang.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dramatic. It's not bad, but I would watch Katie Sagal do anything, really. Even now, like she's like almost 60.
Yeah.
Good looking babe, Katie Sagal.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what.
Noted.
She is.
Plug time.
Plug in Katie Sagal? Yes, please.
No. Follow me on Twitter at Addison Todd. Follow Matt on Twitter at
mhume2574.
Give us your feedback, thoughts on the show. Give that some thought. Feed it back to us. Who knows? We may give it some thought back. We may spawn a whole infinite loop of thought here.
Yeah, just if one person can tell us what to talk about next time so we know what we want to talk about next time.
That'd be great.
Yeah, because we went into today's show kind of just blind.
We did a little bit.
Yeah.
A little shaky. We had a good number of topics, though.
Yeah. Remember, look up on Wikipedia, maggot bees.
Maggot bees.
Because they are fascinating creatures, and they live inside of you.
If
right
someone
now.
Could do some research on some maggot bees, maybe forward us a white paper, maybe a thesis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of other academic terms.
I don't even a thesis. I would just take like a photoshopped image of a maggot with like bee wings. Like I would take that as my proof that these things
exist.
As your proof
that maggot bees exist.
Yeah.
Well, we could cut you open or me, but that would be A, painful, B, not productive. We'll get to the bottom of this maggot bees.
Yeah.
I think we will. It's inevitable. It's science.
Yeah. Oh, I know a lot about the first and second maggot bees. I just, if someone can, you know.
The third and the fourth maggot bees.
Yeah, do some research on the third and the fourth maggot bees for me. That would be pretty cool. No one's going to understand, like, the gist of this, the joke, maggot bees. Like, no one's going
to
get it.
Someone has to.
I guess. Apocryphal humor, people.
Apocryphal humor. Something that Matt specializes in. Go listen to the bonus episode for Canada Day. I think you'll find it pretty amusing. It's about 6 minutes long. Nice little lunchtime, little break listen.
Yeah. And for Canada Day, you want to
celebrate the people of Canada.
Who give us the best maple syrup.
This is the best way to do it.
Yeah. The best friendship and Toronto.
They're not a bad country.
They're pretty good. Pretty cool country. Way to go, Canada.
This has been a production of Tripod Broadcasting.